Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
You think those are the two guys, the hardest guys to grade, Lamar and Baker?
Lamar's going to be hard to project. Baker Mayfield's going to be hard to grade and project. I don't think Baker Mayfield is Drew Brees. Drew is a much better pure arm guy. He's not Manziel, but is he souped up version of Chase Daniel when he came out of Missouri? And Chase was a good quarterback.
Not
People
bad.
Act like I'm crapping on him when I say that. Chase Daniel was a good quarterback out of Missouri.
He's
actually
a solid backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he is. But I think Baker's better than that.
Did you guys see this update on Ryan Shazier's spinal cord?
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
He might be forced to retire.
They wound up having to do surgery. There's no indications yet he's been able to move his legs. Just worry about the guy being healthy for the rest of the
time. Yeah, I was pretty sure when it happened that his football career was over. I mean, this is a dude with young kids. Is he going to be able to be like a normal guy and walk around anymore? And that's, to me, that was the priority at that point.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-3776, if you wish to text the show. And also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, R-E-A-L, at Jon Snow with a zero in the snow, at Degenerates975. Can also text the show, you know the number. And we welcome in our listeners on SportsMap 94.1. Hopefully, if you missed anything, all available at podcastarena.com. We had Lance Zierlein on, as you heard there, talking a little draft stuff. That was kind of, you know, off the cuff there. We just pulled him in here. We do that sometimes. And talked a lot of football and talked a little dating and a little bit of everything in the first 2 hours. Mostly sports, but some stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you want the third hour to go?
Well, Lamont brought up something that I had on my list of things to talk about today about Al Franken. And I'm guessing you saw today that Al Franken announced that he would step down from the Senate after the allegations against him, which is so weird because, you know, listen, I think Al Franken is probably doing the right thing. If you hold a public office, I mean, it's probably not the way you want to carry yourself. It's a weird thing for Al Franken, though, because he came from a comedy background, although, I mean, at some point, grabbing some chick's boobs while she's sleeping isn't necessarily comedy these days. So I think he did the right thing, but he kind of got torched because doing the right thing, he sort of called out Trump and Roy Moore. And of course, then people are like, oh, he's being selfish. And it's like, well, no, not really. He's just saying, hey, I screwed up. Maybe you guys should take a look at these other people who screwed up. But either way, Lamont says, what are the odds he rescinds his resignation after the Alabama results? Because he did say he's going to wait a little while. I don't know if you can rescind. I mean, I guess you can technically, but what's that make you look like if you rescind your resignation? And why would you even announce it if, I mean, other than...
Yeah, that's very strange. But you know, I think if you're going to be in that job, you got to be better than that. So... we'll throw him into the bracket somewhere.
Yeah.
Todd asked, when did the laws change on poker? The laws didn't really change. They found a way around them, basically, that makes it legal because there's no rake.
Yeah.
And that's what makes these rooms legal. And I'm very happy about it, especially because there's one right down the street from us right here that I go to and can go play. I'm excited about that. You know what? I keep forgetting to do this because we get on topics sometimes. I didn't do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day, so we need to do that.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
How familiar are you with Catherine McPhee?
She was on American Idol.
Yeah, finished like second in 2006.
Yeah. That's like she's kind of a hot chick. If you're in it, well, I don't know what she looks like now. I remember at the time thinking she was like a healthy, thick chick.
Like that's a fair description.
Yeah, she wasn't the typical skinny girl that everybody thinks is hot. She was a meaty lady, which, as you know, I tend to gravitate to sometimes.
Yeah, I think. Most of us appreciate that.
That's literally all I know about her, though.
Apparently, she's now on some show called Scorpion.
I don't know anything about that show.
Well, apparently she was vacationing in Cabo with a friend and decided to crash a wedding. And when she did, she got kicked out of the wedding by the bride.
Okay.
And apparently this pissed her off, so she went on Instagram and started calling the bride a loser and a bitch for kicking them out of their wedding.
A wedding that she crashed?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it a, do you know who I am, I'm famous type thing?
I'm guessing so, yeah.
You ain't that famous, Catherine McPhee.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think she's a big enough star to be getting upset over this. So they called her a loser, and they made several videos, and a clip titled Bride Bitch McPhee is seen in her hotel room saying, "What bride does her own wedding security? If you're doing your own security, you have a problem." And then a second video is titled Dead Bride, hashtag Rude Bride. I got to tell you, having been through a few marriages, you don't mess with a woman on her wedding day. They're stressed out enough as it is. They're going to get mean. So if you just show up at somebody's party, like, "Oh, hey, I'm Catherine McPhee. People want to party with me." Nah. Some of the groomsmen might want to, you know,
take you
to Pound Town, but nobody really wants you at their wedding. And says, "She should be so lucky to dance with me. I got moves." Nah.
Whatever.
So there you go.
She seems kind of bitchy.
Yeah, she does.
Is she still, is she still thick?
She might be a little less thick than you remember.
Okay.
She looks good. I mean, I would.
But sometimes chicks get skinny and it ruins them.
Yeah. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Man, this show has flown by today.
Yeah, it actually has.
Yeah. Man, I got a whole bunch of things that I wanted to get to here, that including some TV stuff. Did you
I'm almost done with season two of the Scientology show.
Yeah.
And then I'm starting something on Netflix. I think after the football game tonight, I'm gonna finish my Scientology show. I've got two episodes left. And then tomorrow I'm going to start watching, I think, The Punisher.
I've got to wait for the wife to get back to finish Stranger Things. And then
why?
Because we watch that one together. Both of us do.
Can't you watch it together, like, from a distance? Because it's on Netflix?
Well, yeah, but she's working the whole time she's there, so she doesn't have time for TV.
Oh, okay.
So, no, like, I like to watch. That's when I like to watch with her, because otherwise... Otherwise, I wind up having to watch it twice, because I'll watch it and then she'll come back and start watching it and take over the TV, and I'm stuck watching the damn thing again.
Yeah.
I'm not having that. But here's a show that this is either going to be the worst thing ever made, which is my first impression of it, or one of the weirdest TV shows ever. Sci-Fi Channel.
I don't like it.
I know you're not going to like it, but hear it out.
Okay.
Because when you first hear this, and Jong, I want your opinion on this too, because I think this could go on Comicast. See, I'm trying to help you with your content here. So, there's a new sci-fi series called Happy. And it stars Christopher Maloney, who was in Law & Order SVU for many years.
Okay.
He's Oz. Based on the graphic novel written by Grant Morrison... The series follows Nick Sachs, an intoxicated, corrupt ex-cop turned hitman, adrift in a world of casual murder, soulless sex, and betrayal. So far, that sounds pretty good to me.
Okay.
After a hit gone wrong, his inebriated life is forever changed by the sudden arrival of a tiny, relentlessly positive, imaginary blue-winged horse named Happy. It's a unicorn. An imaginary unicorn. It just sounds awful, right?
Yeah, I don't like this.
Apparently, the reviews are that it's really twisted. So, I don't know. I think it just looks awful. It looks like it's going to be the worst thing ever. Jong?
No, I'm not watching that.
I kind of want to watch it just to see if it's as bad as I think it's going to be. An imaginary unicorn popping up? I mean, granted, that happens every now and then when I smoke weed, but nobody's going to make a show about that.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, so it's a cops and unicorn show.
Mm. So the things coming up that I'm kind of excited to watch.
Yes.
One of them comes, I think it comes on TNT, and I almost never watch shows on TNT, but the previews for this show look really good. Have you seen the previews for The Alienist?
Yeah, actually I did. I thought it was kind of a strange name, but
yeah, I didn't get the name, but the guy who's behind it is Kari Fukunaga, who is also the guy who was behind True Detective Season 1.
Okay.
So if that's any indication, this could be pretty good. I mean, now it won't be on HBO, so it's limited, but it's about like a prostitution murders back in like the 1890s in New York City.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I'm into that. I'm not 100% sure. What'd you say, John?
That's me. I got it.
Oh.
You're good.
I'm sort of into this thing that's coming up on HBO next month called Mosaic. Have you looked at anything about that?
No, I haven't seen anything on that.
It's a weird thing, apparently. It's a murder mystery, and it's also an app which allows users to choose their path through the story, affording you things like whose point of view you want to observe details and choice moments, which will ask you to choose a perspective from which to watch key scenes. And it allows people to dig into supplemental materials dealing with the crime that might not be referenced directly in the show, which that became popular for Making a Murderer, which, you know, that turned sort of turned regular people into detectives. But it is going to be on HBO. And they're saying it's not a TV show. It's not a movie. It's something else.
Hmm.
So I'm interested in that. And then I'm also interested in Waco, which is coming on next month.
You've heard a lot about that, too.
It's going to be on. So Spike TV is now the Paramount Network, but they're putting out a six-part TV event about the Branch Davidians. And Taylor Kitsch, who was in Friday Night Lights, which pisses me off because Taylor Kitsch, before he was super famous, like when Friday Night Lights first started, he would come on my show all the time in Austin. And like
Danny McBride used to do that.
Yeah.
Before he became famous, he'd come on. Yeah.
We would text and things like that. And then he got super famous and he was like, he changed his number. I'm sure. I don't know. That's the same thing that happened to me with Perez Hilton. Perez Hilton was like, "Oh, I'll never get too big to come on your show."
Yep.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. You're a liar. But either way, Taylor Kitsch is going to be David Koresh, and that's going to come on in January too. So those shows I'm excited for.
Yeah, that somebody said that Mosaic thing sounds like a lot of work. That it kind of does.
It might be.
That's my only. It might be. Pause.
The other thing, have you guys heard about this this show on Netflix called Dark? Which I guess is already out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. I guess it's about these two young girls who disappear. There's a lot that I like about it, or at least like the idea of it.
You like the idea of girls disappearing?
Yes. But I mean, I like crime drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also apparently got like some time travel stuff to it. And I hate time travel.
Well, you don't like anything science fiction.
No.
And time travel is technically science fiction. So. Somebody says Vice Principals is the best thing on TV. I tried that the first year, and I thought it would be great with those two guys in it, and it was just so not funny. Not even – it was just completely – everything that was supposed to be funny wasn't. So I haven't tried watching it since. And it reminded me a lot of the last year of him doing Kenny Powers. It just wasn't funny.
Yeah.
So
– he's kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah, and I wonder if that trick's played out. But if you're enjoying it, good. Scott says, is it bad if my kid knows the Gym of the Day jingle?
No, a lot of kids love that song.
Yeah.
I wrote it for the children.
And the people.
Wu-Tang is for the children. AJ is for the children.
Black Sabbath is for the children.
Yeah, okay.
John,
Ozzy is for the children?
Yes.
Ozzy's boneyard.
Why would you not think he's for the children?
I snort some ants.
Of course I'm for the children. Yeah.
All right, guys, I have to tell you about my man, Lawyer Dave. And if you've been in an accident of any kind, and guess what? With that weather out there the way it is right now, you might be getting in an accident even as we speak. Well, don't waste any time. Dial my man, Dave. And they are going to, I'll tell you, what, these guys are specialists. And whether it's a car and truck accident, slip and fall, 18-wheeler, or you got an overtime claim, any of these kind of things, they can help. And if you don't know if you need a lawyer, give them a call because they'll give you free legal advice. And maybe if you're thinking, hey, I probably need to go to the doctor, but I can't afford one, they'll find one for you. 713-626-8900 is the number. 713-626-8900. And they'll even take care of you if you're over in the Golden Triangle. They love those guys too. Let me tell you, Dave is a bulldog. These insurance companies, they've got lawyers. They're trying to screw you. Dave will go after them for you. And I'm telling you what, he is terrific at his job. I use him for a lot of things. I'm proud to call him a friend. And he's the first guy I call if I have any kind of legal question. And if it's not something he can help me with, he'll put me with somebody who can. And if it's not something that I need done, he'll tell me. That's why you need to give him a call right now, 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. Loves the Blitzers. He will put your mind at rest. Or you can go to lawyerdave.com. If you need a lawyer, better dial Dave.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
BetDSI is still offering that free $25 wager for registering using my promo code BLITZ25. If you haven't jumped on that offer now, there's only a limited time left with it. Do yourself a favor and jump on that now. BetDSI.com is simply a great sports book, rated A+ by the review sites. They have a reputation you can trust, lots of fun features, easy deposits and withdrawals, no hassles on getting your money. That's important, guys. Go to BetDSI.com right now and use my promo code BLITZ25 to get a $25 free wager just for registering. Parlays, teasers, straight bets, futures. BetDSI.com offers lines on nearly every sporting event you would want to bet. And don't forget, you can bet while the action is live with in-game wagering. At home or on your mobile device, getting odds and placing bets is so simple and fun with BetDSI. Want to go beyond traditional sports? They've got an awesome online casino and racebook. How about politics or reality TV? BetDSI has those odds too. What are you waiting for, guys? If you're looking for a legit, secure, reputable online sportsbook, stop putting up with the hassles and the restrictions of other services. Switch to BetDSI now. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code BLITZ25, and get a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's BLITZ25 to get your free wager and start winning today.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So I want to help the people here. You're going to be traveling. You do any traveling around Christmas? Any flying, I mean?
No flying for sure.
Well, we have a list of the best and worst airports for Christmas travel. And some of these, I think, will be interesting to the people. And it bases on the percentage of flights delayed, the number of flights or percentage of flights canceled, and then the average delay.
Okay.
So those are the three things that they rank them on.
Okay.
Now, these are your best. Number one is Honolulu, so who cares about that? Nobody's going to Honolulu for Christmas. Well, I guess going to see UH football.
That's right.
That's your best one. Congratulations.
They rarely have weather delays.
Yeah. Charlotte is number two. That's a pretty good airport. I've flown through there before. Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, which I don't think I've ever flown to. I think I've always flown into BMI, which is
Body Mass Index.
No, it's Baltimore. Oh, okay. Unless they've changed the name of it. I don't know. I haven't been in 15 years. Pittsburgh is number four on your list.
That's surprising.
It is.
I would think there'd be a lot of weather delays.
You would think. Same thing with Detroit, which is, I'm sorry, Detroit's number five. Pittsburgh was four. Also, another one you'd think weather delays, Minneapolis-St. Paul. That's a great airport, by the way. That thing's huge, and it's got, like, malls in it. That's one of my favorite places to fly through. Seattle-Tacoma. LaGuardia is number eight. I can't see that at all. That is an armpit. That is, like, the worst airport ever. Portland International, ninth. And Salt Lake City, 10th. So a lot of places that you would think would have more delays.
Yeah.
And now the worst.
Okay. Drum roll, please.
I'm going to count down 10 to 1.
Okay.
Because number 10 is Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, DFW. Okay. I could see that.
That's a lot of traffic.
32% of their flights are delayed, 3.4% canceled, and an average delay of 58 minutes. Number 9 on the list, St. Louis-Lambert International Airport. I'm not a fan of that place. Okay. Number 8 on the list, Baltimore-Washington International Airport. Number 7, Newark. That makes sense because that's a hub and it's in and you're in the middle of the path of the other two.
I think we had to fly out of Newark one time when we went to New York.
Yeah. McCarran Airport in Las Vegas is number 6 on the list.
I've never had many problems there.
I have.
You
I was delayed an entire day.
Yeah, I've not.
Number 5, giving Dallas two of the all-time worst. Dallas's Love Field comes in at number 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
I've always preferred flying into Love, but usually because if I'm going up there, I'm going on Southwest.
Right.
Number 4, not a shock, Denver International Airport. That was one of the. I was actually talking to a young lady who moved here from Denver, and her airport came up because that place is always just packed. It's just because it's a hub. It's always going to be bad. Not a shock, number 3. Well, actually, a little bit of a shock. I would have thought O'Hare would have been the one, but Chicago Midway. 40% of the flights at Chicago Midway get delayed.
Wow.
2.7% canceled, and your average delay is 48 minutes. Number 2.
40%.
Yeah.
And there's two worse.
Is that there's two worse, both at 42%. One of them is Oakland International Airport.
We've also flown out of there.
We've flown out of there. Number 1 on the list, William P. Hobby Airport.
Oh, no.
I know. And I
really?
Love,
Hobby?
I love flying out of Hobby, but percentage of flights delayed, 40, and this is during the Christmas holidays, right? 42%, 1.3% of flights canceled, 46 minutes average delay. And this is flying around the holidays, okay? Not all the time. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. But the one thing about it says about Southwest, it says Southwest is the airline that tops the list, which would explain why both Hobby and Chicago Midway and Dallas Love Field are on here. Because apparently Southwest has an average of 39% of flights being delayed during the holidays, followed by Frontier, Spirit, JetBlue, and United.
It's a bunch of bad airlines.
Southwest didn't. I like Southwest. But Frontier.
No, I'm saying Spirit, all the ones you named after Southwest are bad.
United's. I've come around on United. We had one bad experience.
Done with United. They were dead to you.
Yeah, but that, I've come around. We're not really friends, but I don't hate them, and I'm not going to get into Twitter wars with them again. And it's probably my third choice. Southwest is the most convenient for me because it's close to where I live. It's easier to get there. But Delta, I've had good experience with, and then I'll use United if whatever is the cheapest flight. Let's be honest. If I'm paying my own way, it's whatever flight I can get on cheap and then upgrade. The best airlines for traveling for Christmas? Hawaiian. Only 7% of their flights are delayed, but okay. Alaska Airlines. Mesa Airlines, which I don't think I've ever even seen.
I've flown on Mesa Airlines. I was like, I used to fly from when I lived in New Mexico. I lived up in like the Four Corners area, and you would fly from there to Albuquerque or Denver on Mesa Airlines, and it was terrifying.
Oh, God. Delta and Endeavor Air.
I've never heard of Endeavor.
I've never heard of Endeavor either. So, worst airlines for Christmas travel, Southwest. Guess I won't be traveling
anymore. I would have never thought. Yeah. Southwest usually strong.
Yeah, we were going to go to Belize.
Normally good.
We were going to go to Belize over the holidays and then found out we both are going to have to work.
God, week, you are so. Such a rich.
I'm not a rich.
You were going to go to Belize. John, when's the last time you went to Belize?
Never.
Really? Me neither. Well, the problem, mostly because it's in a foreign country and I don't go to foreign countries.
Yeah, but I honestly, it doesn't do you any good if you're all you're doing is working, which is kind of where we are right now. But, oh well.
Well, Fred, I know that you are circumcised, but 2 weeks ago you weren't. And
don't lie about that. That's not even funny. You talk about Jong or somebody, but you stay away from my penis.
I'm going to talk about your penis sometimes. You just need to accept that. If you are an uncircumcised male, you're at increased risk for lots of infections, STDs, penile cancer. That's bad. Well, Man Centers is the only certified practice in Houston performing the Shang Ring circumcision procedure, which is an FDA-approved, easy, quick, safe, and effective procedure performed within 10 to 15 minutes right there in the clinic. Quick recovery time, much less cost, up to 5 times less than a conventional circumcision. It's cleaner, less pain, lower complication rate, and a higher appearance satisfaction rate. And it's typically covered by insurance. A lot of guys think that I've waited too long to get a circumcision. I'm too old. The Shang Ring procedure can be performed on any male at any age over 1 year old. Call Man Centers today. Schedule a consultation. See if they can help you out through it. In Houston at I-10 and Campbell. Pearland right off 288. Tomball on the Tomball Parkway. Go to mancenters.com to book your appointment today. Man Centers. Men's health starts here.
Everything is fine.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And usually we have him on at 5:30 on Thursdays, but we had to move things around a little bit. So joining us now, as he has been every Thursday during college football season, Brad Powers, lead college football analyst for pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. And Brad, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on. And you only got one game this weekend. What are you going to do?
I appreciate it, and I apologize for being a little late and missing the first window of opportunity there. But I'll be honest with you guys. It's actually only one game, but I love it. It's probably one of my favorite games of the entire college football season.
So who you got then?
Well, the unfortunate thing for people that are listening right now, I got the under. Problem is, I bet that sucker on Sunday when it was sitting at 50.5, and now it's plummeted to like 46. Still lean with the under. You look at the last 11 meetings, 11 straight unders in the rivalry, average total score by 37 points per game. Problem is, a lot of people are onto that. They know it usually goes under. You got two option teams that are very familiar with defending the option. The clock continues to run. Still think there's slight value with the under, but I'll be honest with you, what I'll be looking to bet here in the next 24 to 48 hours, looks like the money's going to pour in on Army. I think if you want to bet Navy, you're going to get a 2.5 out there in the marketplace, and that's when I'll pounce on the midshipmen. I think last year's loss, which broke the 14-game winning streak for them, an outlier. Keep in mind that they're playing with a third-string quarterback making his first career start, and for the first time in the history of the rivalry, they were coming off a conference championship game against Temple. I think they get revenge this year. I'm going to wait and hold off for that 2.5, but I think Navy right now is the best value bet.
Yeah, you just broke AJ's heart with that prediction.
I know. I don't like that, man. But luckily, I got 49.5. I didn't get what you got, but I got 49.5. I'm all right with that.
Hey, still a great bet. I mean, anytime you're beating the current line by 3.5 points, just think, you know, how much it would cost, you know, pricing to buy 3.5 points. So that's a tremendous bet.
So I want to ask you just a few general questions about bowls. Do you like to pounce now when you see a line? Are you going to wait till it gets closer to the game to see guys who might sit out? Is there a value in both? Kind of what's your approach to the bowl games?
Yeah, I pounced on what I perceived to be value at this. With the current information we have, I went ahead and made some bets. I get it that, you know, I might have to hedge back. Some later information news might happen, but that's that can be the case in any week. I mean, I do a lot of my betting on Sundays down at the Wynn where we get the world openers here in Vegas. You know, sometimes I got to hedge because, you know, maybe there's a weather concern or a late, you know, week practice injury that has me getting off of the game a little bit. But, you know, I went ahead and bet 8 to 10 bowl games. I tried to find, you know, teams that I thought were just mispriced, and I'll use a great example. I thought Louisville laying 5 was a ridiculous number. And when you look at Mississippi State, doesn't have a head coach, doesn't have a defense coordinator, heck, doesn't even have a quarterback, lost Fitzgerald in last week's game. I thought the only way that line would move is going to 7. So I went ahead and bet that at -5 and released it at that point. But if there's anything that I perceive to be value, no, I go ahead and bet it, and I'll worry about hedging back later on.
How much stock do you put in teams that coaches have left, like Oregon, for instance, where Willie Taggart leaves, and some of the others? How much do you use that when you're handicapping these games, and how much do you look at that?
Yeah, it's one of the top two or three factors for me. You know, interim coaches to me, for the most part, are a negative. Not always, and I'm not necessarily sure that this Oregon news is a huge negative, because their interim coach Mario Cristobal, you know, if they have a good showing and he's interviewing for the job and the players like him, sometimes it can be a positive. But just for the simple fact, you're losing a head coach, he's not there. You would like to think that head coach is working 70 to 80 hours a week, so just the pure loss of man hours is a negative. And let's face it, if you lost a head coach, most of his assistants are not going to be coaching there the next season, so they're worried about, hey, where am I going to be coaching next year? And they're human beings, you know. Do I pull the kids out of school? You know, are we going to have to switch homes, move across the country? I think overall it's a negative, and I'm not sure it always gets appropriately priced in the marketplace.
I've got an angle that I wanted to ask you about for bowl season, and I guess we're a little ways away from it, but I played this when it came out, and it's already dropped a few points. But New Mexico State has not, I think it's been 56 years since their last bowl game. I can't imagine that a team would be more excited to be playing in a bowl game than New Mexico State. They're playing in the Arizona Bowl, which was like one of the few bowl games that the program could actually afford to travel to. I mean, it's a cool story, I think. I would imagine New Mexico State would be super pumped for this game, more so than Utah State, who's in a bowl game pretty much every single year. And, in fact, Utah State was the same team they played 56 years ago in the bowl game, which is kind of funny. But I got New Mexico State at 7.5. It's already been bet down to 4, plus 4. Do you take anything into account with that, like how excited? Or is that a sort of a silly thing because these kids have never, you know, they don't play, they weren't alive 56 years ago, much less caring about New Mexico State?
No, I think motivation, excitement level might be the most important factor in bowls, because it's the one time of year where you get teams that are super excited to be there, and then there's a lot of teams that aren't so excited, like a Florida State playing in the Independence Bowl when in the preseason they had aspirations of playing in the college football playoff. I think motivation and coaching turnover probably are the two most important factors. That 7.5 is a tremendous number. I agree with you. That would have been the bet for me at 7.5. I'd bet the other side at 3, though, on Utah State. It's a numbers game for me.
Oh,
my number on the game is probably 4, 4.5, so I went ahead and bet Utah State at that lower number of 3. I think New Mexico State will be super excited. The only concern that I would have is, none of these players, none of these coaches have had bowl experience, so are they going to be a little too excited, get caught up in the moment and all the game week festivities, traveling around and all that? That would be maybe a slight distraction for them, where it's maybe a business trip for Utah State, who's used to bowl. But, yeah, I think you've got a great bet there at 7.5.
On the other side of that motivation factor, what about a team like Ohio State, where USC is now getting +7 against Ohio State? Ohio State thought they were going to be playing Clemson in the first round of the college football playoff. Now they're playing a game that, for all intents and purposes, is meaningless. Do you see value in USC getting a touchdown? Where I thought those teams were pretty close to even from a resume standpoint as it was. 7 points seems like a lot, especially when Ohio State would seemingly be non-motivated.
Yeah, you're on the right side here. Southern Cal is definitely the play at the +7 there. I guess you could think Ohio State two different ways. Maybe like TCU a couple years ago, didn't get in the playoff. They go and dominate Ole Miss in a bowl game. They play with a chip on their shoulder. Or it's the Ohio State that we saw, you know, four years ago, loses, out on going to the playoffs. They lost the Big Ten championship game to Michigan State. They're one game away from getting the playoffs, and they get beat in their bowl game, and they're kind of lackluster against Clemson. So it could go either way. I would say the fact that we're questioning what their motivation level is, we're not questioning what USC's level is. Even though they came into the season with playoff aspirations, I got to think that this is the best-case scenario for them after they were walking off the field, South Bend, Indiana, getting beat 49-14. The fact that they won the rest of their games, won a conference championship, playing Ohio State in a big-time bowl game, I think they'll be super amped. Love that USC plus 7 pick.
One more before I let you go, and this is probably one that we could talk about as the bowls get closer, but you do those computer-projected lines. What is the record there for bowl games? Is it still as effective as it is if the numbers way off like it is in the regular season?
Yeah, it's just about the same. You know, last year had a little bit more success than this year. This year looked like it was pretty much a 50% proposition, and maybe because my numbers were a little tight compared to last year where I had probably triple the amount of plays. Maybe I need to stop overreacting on a week-to-week basis and make sure my power ratings are in accordance of what the market is. But, yeah, last year was successful, hitting about 57% even in bowl season. And a lot of times what happens is you get – these are very isolated games. So you're normally not going to have the general betting public betting on an SMU-Louisiana Tech game, but the fact that it's a standalone game and everyone's going to be watching it, you get inflation. And a lot of times what I find on game day, or at least closer to kickoff, is wherever that line's moving, you get the public to be kind of like a steam chaser, and you can find an extra point or so of value, and that's where it kind of is disparate between my power ratings. So, yeah, just as successful in bowl season as it is in the regular season.
All right, that's Brad Powers, lead college football analyst for pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7, and we'll have more specific games to talk about next week. So appreciate the time, as always. Great stuff. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right, sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right. Guys, got to tell you about Omaha Steaks. And if you're looking for the perfect gift for someone who has it all, they have you covered. For less than $50, you can get a great gift delivered to you so you can wrap it, or delivered to them. And if you want it for yourself, how about this? A gift for yourself. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code FRED in the search bar. That's 75% off. And they have so many great things. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to the Blitzers. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus four additional kielbasa sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code FRED in the search bar, get a 75% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit. omahasteaks.com.
Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama said,
hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Celebrate the Astros World Series championship forever with the incredible audiobook History Earned, a retelling of the Astros' magical journey to the 2017 World Series title. Incredibly affordable at just $13.99, with $1 from every sale going to Hurricane Harvey relief. Narrated by SportsMap 94.1's own Charlie Palillo and written by Chris Campisi, it's perfect for any Astros fan and easily downloadable to any laptop or smart device. Gift card options are available as well. Just go to historyearn.com and download your copy today. Let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's do it. And we had a little bit of discussion about this at the end of yesterday's show about August Ames, the 23-year-old porn star.
Yes.
Who... Let's call it what it is. She is an accomplished actress. Two AVN awards at 23.
And 200-plus movies.
I mean, that's impressive. People are saying that she may have taken her own life. She had recently worked on adult TV shows such as Baby Got Boobs and Hot and Mean. Was pronounced dead at the scene yesterday. They're saying that she was suffering from depression, and online bullying may have played a part in this, because we talked about it yesterday. There were people who came out and called her a homophobe because she was declining to work with an actor who had done gay porn. And apparently she took it so hard that she may have taken her own life. I guess we'll find out eventually if that's the actual case, but her own friends seem to believe that to be the case.
Interesting.
Are you going to be watching any of her movies this weekend to commemorate her passing?
Probably not.
No?
No.
It'd be kind of weird, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, she's dead now, so it's kind of weird to spank to her, right?
I would think so. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't really watch any of that stuff anymore, to be honest.
Of course you don't.
No, I don't. They don't have alien robot sex, so I'm out.
John, I'm sure you read about this. Disney, it looks like they're going to purchase 21st Century Fox's television and movie production assets.
Yes.
And the thing that maybe... There's a couple things that would be interesting when it comes to that. But mostly it would be that there would be some superhero additions to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. How much do you know of this?
How much do I know as in, like, about the deal?
I mean, do you know if that was part of the reason why they wanted to do it?
Yeah,
do they have plans for those characters?
Yeah, and they want to bolster their streaming service before it comes out.
Okay.
And from some reports I'm seeing is that they might actually, the regional Fox Sports channels might be a part of it. So, like, a Fox Sports Southwest might get thrown into it. Now, the only thing I think is they're waiting for is the government to approve it because, antitrust laws and stuff. So I think the earliest you'll see it is next week.
Well, so what about all those guys who jumped to FS1 from ESPN?
Oh, no. I think FS1 is fine. I think, but the regional...
Yeah, they're keeping FS1. Fox. They're keeping, like, Fox News and things that. I did hear that they might sell off... Fox might sell off FX.
Interesting.
Which would be a lot of their TV stuff, that I'm interested in anyway.
Yeah.
I've been watching that Leah Remini Scientology show.
Yes.
And one of the celebrity Scientologists, Danny Masterson. You may remember Danny Masterson as Hyde from that 70s show.
Yeah.
And he has been accused by four different women of violently raping them in the early 2000s. He has been working on a Netflix show called The Ranch that Ashton Kutcher is like the producer of. And I mean, clearly they've known each other for a long time, and he's now been fired from that show amid multiple rape allegations. That was announced on Tuesday. His last day of filming on the program took place on Monday. They decided that he was not going to be on the show. They're going to resume in early 2018 without him. And, he co-starred with Ashton Kutcher, who he was on that 70s show with. He'll be featured in new episodes of The Ranch that premiere on Netflix on December 15th, but nothing after that. He's denied all allegations of rape and said the encounters in question were consensual.
All right.
Now, that's Hoffman on Hollywood, Fred.
Well, that's going to wrap up our show.
It wouldn't be the same without a rape allegation.
Yeah. At some point tomorrow, I want to talk about that Lomachenko-Rigondeaux fight.
Oh, it's going to be good, good, good.
All right, great job, Jong Lee. Great job, AJ Hoffman. We will see you guys in Beaumont tomorrow, unless Snowmageddon comes and ruins life for all of us. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.